Wilson Jr. Revocable Trust. This is a petition for further review, so is it Ms. Benson?
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Again, Sheila Benson from Rembolt Ludke on behalf of appellees, but in this instance petitioners Roger Wilson and Roseanne Wilson in their capacities as co-trustees of the Henry Wilson Jr. Revocable Trust. As the court mentioned, we're here today on this court's grant of my client's petition for further review, and the issue before all of you is really quite narrow. And it really boils down to whether or not the Court of Appeals correctly interpreted the scope of the county court's order, which, as argued in our brief in support of the petition, we contend that the Court of Appeals erred in its interpretation of that order and the scope of that order. What the county court did after trial is remove my clients as co-trustee of their father, Henry Wilson's trust, and the appellant, Ms. Luann Godding, appealed that issue and many issues and assigned as error the failure of the county court to remove my clients as trustee of her subtrust. When the Court of Appeals looked at this issue, they said there's no error in needing correction because the county court already removed Roger and Roseanne as not only co-trustees of Henry's trust, but also all of the separate subtrusts.
And what did the trial court say in its order?
And I'm very glad you asked that question. I think that's dispositive here. If we look at what the county court said, and the second paragraph of the order is, the administration of the subtrust are not an issue properly before this court. And if you go to the end of the order, it is therefore ordered that the co-trustees are removed as co-trustee of the Henry Wilson Trust.
I may not be keeping up with you. Trust case, not a state case.
Yes, it's a trust case. Yes, so some background may help because I'm talking about the Henry Wilson Trust and some subtrusts. So I think some background may help to frame this issue for the court. There was an instrument dated June 27, 2002, and it created the Henry Wilson Revocable Trust. Upon Henry's death, of course, that trust became irrevocable, and that also triggered the creation of three separate, legally distinct subtrusts, one in the name of each of his children, Roseanne, Roger, and Luann. For the benefit of each of them individually.
Right.
And upon that, the Henry Wilson Trust continued to exist. So we have one instrument essentially creating four trusts. My client served as co-trustee of both that, Henry's trust, as well as the three children's trusts. On December 16, 2013, Ms. Godding filed a petition for removal against my clients only in their capacity as co-trustee of Henry's trust. There was a hearing trial held on that matter, and the court ordered that they be removed from Henry's trust. Thereafter, Luann appealed that order on several issues, including that she assigned as error the failure of the county court to remove Roger and Roseanne from her own subtrust. And again, we come back to the county court's order there, where at the very beginning, they say the administration of the subtrust, the kids' trust, is not an issue properly before this court.
Who would have been in a position to gripe about how the subtrusts are being conducted?
Ms. Godding certainly could have. As a beneficiary of that trust, she had standing under the statute to bring a removal proceeding. As it related to that proceeding, she didn't raise that issue. She didn't plead for removal.
Yes, is that flood at all in her petition?
It's not. And if you look at the petition, which is included in the record, there's no mention in the petition's allegation of that subtrust. You'll see in their brief, to kind of counter that argument, they argue that, well, we attached the trust to our petition. And of course, that trust instrument does create the Luann Godding subtrust, but nowhere in the petition is that specific relief sought. And certainly, if you're seeking removal of my client as co-trustee of her subtrust, she could have pled that, and I will note that she knows how to plead that. This isn't in the record, but this court can take judicial notice of proceedings of other courts, and there in Sherman County PR 1525, Ms. Godding has filed a petition to remove in the Luann Godding Trust, asking that my clients be removed as co-trustees of her trust.
Have you previously requested us to take judicial notice of something, and has your opponent received notice of such a request?
No, Your Honor. And in full disclosure, the amended petition act, that case was filed on January 24th, 2018, which was after we submitted our brief and when it was first brought to my attention. In full disclosure, that action was filed.
Assume for the moment that we're not going there.
Yes, I think that's fair. And that action, I think it's important to know in full disclosure, it was filed in December 2015. It was filed after the county court's order. So they're preserving their rights. I'm not trying to argue that it's more than it is, but just to make the point, there's a way to ask for these to be done. They could have brought this in the name of Luann's trust. She had standing to ask for removal and could have done so, but as we see in this petition, did not do so, and it wasn't considered by the county court. And I think, so the only issues really here before this court today is that the administration, as the county court explicitly noted in their order, was not an issue below, and that as a result, the Court of Appeals misinterpreted the county court's order.
Well, that was my next question. What did the Court of Appeals do wrong in your view?
Yes, well, I think at the outset by saying there's no error needing correction, the county court, by removing from Dad's trust, by removing them as co-trustees of Dad's trust, that in effect removed them as co-trustees of the sub-trust. And I think that's where the error arises.
Does that remove them from all the sub-trusts, or just Luann Goeding's sub-trust, or how does that work?
That's a very good question, and that's in a large part why we're here, because of the ambiguity that created. If it was narrow and just Sister's trust, you know, we may have made a strategic decision to not have to be there. But if you look at the Court of Appeals language, it just says sub-trust generally. So then we have a position where we have Ms. Goeding, beneficiary of Dad's trust, beneficiary of her own trust, initiating a removal action, and somehow the impact is that all of a sudden they're removed as trustees of all trusts. And as a practical matter, I think that raises some serious policy concerns. And it just doesn't comport with what the county court ordered. And
what would be the policy concerns? Might that include things where there's property in common?
Yes, and I think, you know, if we go back to their argument of, it was raised in the petition because we attached it, the trust document was attached to the petition, and we have one document that creates all three trusts, and they have common trustees and common appointment procedures. I think you have to look at trust law.
The common assets is what I meant to ask. Is that a problem?
I think, as I recall, the property has been deeded to the separate trust, and upon Henry's death that triggered, they do have separate assets now. That's off the best of my memory. But I think from a policy perspective, keeping in mind, it's very common to have a single trust instrument create multiple trusts. Those trusts still have distinct legal
identities. And each of those
trusts
may have an asset in common.
They may.
In this case, perhaps a third of a real estate each or something of that nature.
Right. They may have assets in common, but they also may have separate assets. And so we have to look at these distinct. And so what?
And refresh my memory, what did the county court do in regard to replacing the trustees who were removed?
Right. They ordered a successor trustee, which was an attorney pursuant to the trust. The successor trustee was to be a corporate trustee or a third party neutral.
And is it clear from the Court of Appeals opinion that this person was also then to become the trustee for the other sub-trust?
As I read the Court of Appeals opinion, that's not clear. It's a pretty succinct, you know, as we read this is denied. I would like to address part of the Court of Appeals reasoning in interpreting the county court's order is they draw upon the one line in the county court's order that says one of the basis for removing my clients and one of the breaches was failing to maintain the sub-trust created by the trust as separate trusts. And we agree that that is a breach that the county court found. The county court also found other breaches, which together gave rise to a serious breach to warrant removal. We don't have any evidence in the record whether or not that would also give rise to removal as trustee of Luann's trust. That's a distinct trust with distinct facts. And my clients weren't given an opportunity to try that issue at the county court. And if you look at the various evidentiary rulings below, you'll see that the county court was explicitly excluding that evidence. And I do want to point to one in particular on page 323 of the Bill of Exceptions. Counsel for Ms. Goeding asked their expert, do you have an opinion that the Luann Goeding Trust has been damaged by the actions and admissions of the co-trustees? Answer, yes, I have an opinion. Question, what is your opinion? Trial counsel objected to the question, quote, that goes beyond the scope of the complaint, and the court sustained that objection. And there's additional examples in the records, but I think that pretty clearly points out that this wasn't litigated below. If it was going to be litigated, that type of evidence would need to come in. My clients would need to get notice so as to respond to that evidence.
Counsel, what's our standard of review in this situation?
The standard of review, well, at the Court of Appeals, it's the in questions of equity, it's de novo, and then, of course, they the factual findings, you look for clear error. As far as looking at whether the Court of Appeals erred as a matter of law, I think you have discretion to look at that de novo.
So if we found that there was grounds to remove the co-trustees from Ms. Loading's trust, do we have the authority to do that?
I do not believe so, because I think that goes beyond the scope of this court's authority, and I think, frankly, as a practical matter, you wouldn't be able to do that, because that type of evidence just isn't in the record. If you review the type of evidence that was presented in the record, those types of issues just weren't there. I see my time is up, so unless the court has any additional questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Sekman-Jillick, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Nicole Sekman-Jillick. I represent Luann Godding, who was the original appellant and now is the, I guess, appellee at this stage of the case. I want to make sure that you're aware of just some of the understanding and background of how this trust was created, because that really impacts your decision and how the original trial court looked at this and how the Court of Appeals looked at this. As Ms. Benson said, this trust involved one single document. It was titled the Henry Wilson Revocable Trust, dated June 27, 2002. The actual title of the document, there's even on page one of that document, there's even a definition that this trust shall be known as the Henry Wilson Revocable Trust, dated June 27, 2002. Within that document, it created several different duties for the trustee. The original trustee was Henry himself. Upon his death, the successor co-trustees became his two children, Roseanne and Roger. Henry had three children, Roseanne, Roger, and my client, Luann Godding. But Roseanne and Roger were appointed the co-trustees of every fiduciary duty, the successor co-trustees of every fiduciary duty created under that one trust instrument after Henry's death.
Including his co-trustees under the subtrust.
Correct. And I want to point out, the word subtrust is more of a term of art. I don't believe it's defined anywhere in Nebraska law. It certainly isn't defined in this trust instrument
Was real estate transferred to the subtrust?
Correct. In December.
Did that create its own entity at that point?
Technically, trusts are not entities.
Did they get a tax ID number?
They didn't, and that's actually explicitly found in the trial court's original October 1st, 2015 order.
As a breach. So they should have got a tax ID number for these subtrusts.
Yeah.
Creating their own separate identity.
That I think that's the intent, and that's part of the issues here. What the trial court did explicitly find in its original trial court, in its original order, was that there was no bank accounts ever created for these what we call subtrusts. There was no tax identification numbers obtained. The Schedule K-1 tax documents continued to be issued in the name of the Henry Trust.
But they held real estate.
Correct. So what the trial court attempted to do was they allowed some evidence to come in, excluded other evidence. But really the big picture is that regardless of how things were titled, the co-trustees continued to operate things as one big trust. And that's supported by the testimony of Damon Behensky and Sandy Bentley.
That was the breach the court found,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. That the court found one of the breaches of the co-trustees to be the fact that they didn't separately administrate these subtrusts. And just to also point out, and as noted by the Court of Appeals, is there's no separate definitions or procedures to appoint the trustees of these subtrusts. So it's kind of a mismatch of who's supposed to be doing what, but in big picture, as acknowledged by the two of the witnesses called by the co-trustees, Damon Behensky and Sandy Bentley, that was essentially the intent.
Your client's position is that they should have taken this real estate, put it in the subtrust, have those real estates generate income and then pay them to the beneficiaries of the subtrust.
Correct. That's not what's happened.
Right, but that's the contention of your client. Is that correct?
That's what we believe should have happened. And I think that there's
Let me interrupt so that they would have become three separate. It would have become three separate trusts. It'll be right a Henry Trust for the benefit of Roger.
Right.
Three with the
correct.
Convention for
correct.
The benefit of.
And there might be more than one way to even accomplish the of how you get to that result. Our expert witness Richard Raby testified as to there's more than one way to come to that result and how the trust
well
should
operationally
be managed.
You can
correct
there you go
correct operationally there's more than one way to handle it. You know, there might be one way might be easier than the other way depending on how you have to separate things, but the evidence showed they used one bank account, continued to file the tax returns in the name of Henry Trust.
And you all believe, though, after the trial court's order, though, that the court had failed to remove the co-trustees from the subtrust. Is that correct?
I think that was a question. That was obviously
that was an assignment of error.
It was an assignment of error. I think you have to look back that my clients, first of all, were appealing a number of errors that were addressed by the Court of Appeals. So that was one of a number of assignment of errors. If that would have been the only assignment of error, I don't know if we would have appealed or not.
But the Court of Appeals didn't have the luxury of simply ignoring the assignment once made, did they? You're not
correct. They didn't. So obviously the Court of Appeals did address it and found that there was no underlying error from the trial court due to the fact of how things are defined. I mean, everything is defined as the Henry Trust. So the fact that...
Well, they found that the trial court removed the co-trustees.
Yes.
Not that there was an error. They actually made a determination that they were removed as co-trustees of the subtrust.
Correct.
What does that mean? Of all three subtrusts, the one subtrust was appointed to be the successor trustee.
Right. Well, the Court of Appeals appointment, this is to correct Ms. Benson's point, was that the Court of Appeals did explicitly say that the appointment of the successor of trustee applied to Henry's trust and Luann's separate subtrust. So the Court of Appeals explicitly saying, I guess, they did not say that the successor trustee applies to the Roseanne Wilson Trust or the Roger Wilson Trust. I also think that Ms. Godding does not have standing to have those trustees removed since she does not have any beneficial interest under those trusts or any beneficial interest under those fiduciary duties that the co-trustees owe with respect to that portions of the trust. Also wanted to point out as to the assets, and several questions asked to Ms. Benson about the assets. Yes, there are assets that are similar to all three of these subtrusts. Originally, these three subtrusts owned three pieces of property, each an undivided one-third interest. The Roseanne and Wilson Trust also owned some additional property that was not similar to the Roger Trust or the Luann Trust. But otherwise, the three trusts owned three undivided interests in property. One of the pieces of property was owned in a smaller percentage that's since been sold. But they owned three in common pieces of property that the trust still have to operate. Essentially, this is a trust where, you know, Henry set up the trust for the income benefit to go to his three children. After the three children pass away, then the property actually gets distributed to the then living grandchildren. So this is a matter of something that's intended to, the trust is intended to be operating for a number of years now, depending on the longevity of the income beneficiaries at this point.
That's like the generation trust.
I believe that's the term that they're commonly used at. Also to address Ms. Benson's point that there was no evidence at the trial court level as to the duties or failing to perform duties by these co-trustees with respect to some of these subtrusts. Duties, that's simply not true, and even addressed in the trial court's order. Trial court order, like I said, does acknowledge that there were no separate bank accounts set up. There were no tax returns issued in the name of these subtrusts. They continue to be issued in the name of Henry's Trust. The K-1s were issued in the name of the Henry Trust. And then also you have to look at the testimony of Damon Bohensky and Sandy Bentley. That's the accountant and the attorney that had the privilege of working with Henry prior to his death, and continue to work with these co-trustees after their death. You would think with the thought that they understood how these
how this trust was supposed to be structured and operated.
Well, it does, that is correct. The Henry Trust had the vocabulary of a skip a generation, but not all the doodads.
And I can't say one way or the other, just I'm not familiar with other, what maybe it should or should not have been included. But Mr. Bohensky testified at trial that it continued to be operated as one trust for convenience, despite the fact that the real estate had been deeded out. So, yeah.
Well, who's the universe? Who's the universe of the remainder persons?
There are
all the grandchildren.
Living grandchildren. Okay. They understand that at trial there stands as five living grandchildren, but that's not to be determined until the last of the Rosie and Roger Luann generation passed away. So the then living grandchildren.
Well, all three need to pass away.
Yes.
Before the remainder persons kick in.
Correct. For the most part. At least that's the distribution procedure under the Roger Trust or the Luann Trust. The distribution under the Roseanne Trust is slightly different, I think, because Roseanne never married or had any children. Both Roger and Luann have children.
So even though he can one sibling leave his or her asset, if asset there be, to any grandchild?
Nope. The assets, there's
later descendants.
The provision of the trust is that the assets are not to be sold, and they don't get distributed until the middle generation all passes away. So the income beneficiaries, Roger, Roseanne, and Luann, have no right to distribute.
That's
right.
Thank you. This is just interesting.
Let's be directed to wrap up this Henry Wilson Trust and get everything into the sub-trust and proceed appropriately.
He was obviously directed to step in the shoes of successor trustee. I think that due to the pendency of this appeal, he's had, he's not able to take much action waiting for final decision from the first court of appeal from now the court of appeal, or the Supreme Court.
Do you think the status of things now, according to the court of appeals, is that successor trustee is the successor trustee for all three of the sub-trusts?
I think it's clear from the last sentence of the court of appeals paragraph is that the successor trustee was appointed to Henry's trust and then only a separate trust.
So we don't know about the other two.
Well, the court of appeals doesn't say, but then they don't say. I don't think that the successor trustee applies to the Roseanne trust or the Rocky trust.
Does the court of appeals have the authority to make that determination? It's an interpretation of the county court's
order. It's an interpretation of the county court's order. I think that the removal was done at the county court level.
Did the court of appeals have authority to do that de novo or de novo review?
They had authority, obviously, in a secondary, they had authority to review it, and I don't think that they were affirming the decision of the lower court. They didn't remand it, they didn't make any changes, they were just affirming the decision of the lower court.
The decision of the lower court that not everybody knew was the decision of the lower court.
The lower court decision showed that there were, on the face there's a couple conflicting information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.